God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want you to put your attention there at the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's establishing the deity and establishing who he is and establishing in writing that the Word of God is God. Amen. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that as we begin to embark on this journey in your word, Lord, that you begin to illuminate our minds, reveal to us by the spirit of revelation to understand what your word is saying to us in this very hour. And I thank you, God, for each and every individual that is here present today by way of a physical body or by way of podcast, Lord. I thank you that they hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. I want to chat with you a little bit. I'm going to title this message, The Author and the Finisher of Your Life. Now, if you would just go down with me to Matthew. Turn to Matthew 7. If you're in your Bible, turn left. Go to Matthew 7. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and we'll start at verse 24 through 29. Now, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Verse 24 reads in this wise, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Now, you're reading that in scripture, you're seeing that what is being said here is that he began to teach how the house should be built is by obedience to his teachings, correct? Now, I want you to understand that in this particular chapter, in chapter 7, Jesus is actually sitting down on the mountain hillside and he's teaching. Chapters 5 and 6 is where he begins to teach them how to live here on earth as it is ordained in heaven for us here. So chapter 5 begins about the Beatitudes, how we're supposed to be. Now how he said that we are. Beatitudes. Many of us do have an understanding of attitude. But we'll leave it right there. We have an understanding of attitude. We know how to give it. Attitude, that is. But do we know how to really live it as Christ said for us to live it? Now, I'm not going to teach you about the Beatitudes. I'm just going to tell you that God began to teach something. He was teaching the people. He was teaching the disciples as he was sitting there. So in chapter 5, he's telling them how to be. Chapter 6, he begins to tell them about things that how they're supposed to act in certain circumstances. So chapter 5 and 6 are the things that he's teaching on. In chapter 7 is where the culmination comes together and he says, those of you that listen and obey my word are wise. And then he says to them, but those that do not are foolish. Do you think that those who were following him were all wise? Or do you think amongst them there were some fools? Come on now, you've got to think for real now. There was both there. How many times have you witnessed some things that have taken place in church and people say, oh, hallelujah, amen, and they go right outside and start cussing you out because you, not in this house, not here, not in the house of manna. But we can say the things that sound right. that we're supposed to be like. But when the door shuts behind you in an atmosphere of holiness, it's like we begin to live unholy. We begin to say the things that are in our heart. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I remember 2 weeks ago you came in and you took my seat. You know I sit right there. Pastor always look at me when he preaches to me and he always tell me sit right there. Now, you know, when you took my seat right there, I just had enough. And I'm leaving the church. What did the church do to you? A person did something to you. But what did the church do? Oh, but Pastor, here's where you got to twist it, because we are the church. Then act like it. I don't need to gather no church of four walls. We don't need to have church in the four walls. We are the church. Act like it. Be the church. As so many people say, Pastor, I've been listening to your podcast and it's been helping me. How do you know it's helping you? If you ain't been somewhere to be tested, how do you know it's working? All it is information, but not impartation. Impartation only comes by the laying on of hands. No. Because if we don't impart to people, all we're telling them is what they want to hear.
That's right.
Oh, you so anointed. You are praying, mama in the house. I know what pastor gets his anointing, gets it from me. I feel it all over you. Getting tickled by what you want to hear. But when someone says, that ain't what you're supposed to be telling me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. What did you get out of the service today? Watch this. What if mama was to just go ahead and touch him? Child, you need to be able to understand what pastor was preaching today. What was the message about? Watch this. Impartation. By the laying on of hands. You think by a simple touch, Pastor's just being fresh with me. He was touching me in a special way. I got chills all over my body when Pastor touched me. I know there's a connection there. Shut your mouth. Maybe I'm trying to deal with that thing in your heart that you don't want to be dealt with, and God says, go and touch you and let you know that everything's going to be all right if you just give him that area of your life. Do you think everything needs to be said? Because the truth be told, if we said everything that needed to be said, we wouldn't have a church. People say, oh, no, I ain't going to that church. Pastor, come and tell you how it is. Well, how about changing what it is to what it's supposed to be? How many of us, and don't raise your hand, because y'all are saints of God. Y'all are just righteous. Ooh, y'all are powerful. But how many other people, because when I start giving just kind of examples, because you were talking about, why you put my business out there like that? Pastor, why you always talk about me like that? I ain't even talking about you. I'm giving an example. But if it fits, just put the shoe on. How is it that when we come together in the church, and then God is telling us, this is what I'm teaching you, this is what you need to hear, that we look at whoever the speaker is, and then we begin to judge the speaker, but we don't judge the word. If the word is Christ-centered, and it's Christ, and it's biblical, then it's for you to eat on that word. You can't eat just swallowing it, because what's going to happen, it won't be digested correctly. But if you begin to chew on it, ruminate on it, if you begin to go back to the word that you're hearing, begin to study it, take notes. But you don't even know, I went to seminary school and I got everything down and I passed with high marks. Your attitude tells it all. We have to have an understanding that God didn't design us this way to be this way. He designed us to emanate him. Now, can you be Christ? Lord, I think sometimes I can be Christ, the one that's beaten up, The ones that spit on, the one that been talked about, one that was praised one week, but the next week you've been talked about, spit on, and say, you ain't a man of God. I can be Christ. How many of you been there? You get praised one week, but the next week you get tore down. You're no longer a man of God. Why? Because you told me my sin. Hello, somebody. We have to understand that whatever you're taught, you're going to be tested on. Jesus is sitting at the mount and he's beginning to teach them all these things. And whenever you hear a word that comes to you, and you're going to be tested. I was an A honor roll student. Okay, no, I wasn't. No, my mom's right here looking at me like, you were what? I struggled in school. I did not like school. You know why I didn't like school? Because of the test. I could get together in a class and I could cheat. I mean, I could read real well, do the work real well. But when it came down to the test, I got anxieties. I couldn't do it. Teacher one day took me aside and said, what's wrong with you? You can do the assignments, but when the tests come, some of the things that you write don't make sense. Got me to thinking, what I write? So the teacher asked me this, were you cheating on your assignments and the real you and the test came out? On your assignment, you were cheating. Following somebody else's answers and doing everybody else's work. But when it came for you to take the test, you didn't understand it. I said, I wasn't cheating. You know why you know I wasn't cheating? I can't see real good. I'm not lying, Carla. I would try to look over. And I would get caught. I would just, you know, you're supposed to do it real sly. It got to the point. Like, and I would get caught. I ain't gonna lie. I'd get caught trying to cheat. But when it came down to the test, I couldn't even look up and just try to, just forget it. So he told me, because what the problem is you're always relying on somebody else to do it for you, but when the test comes to you, you don't know how to pass it. How many times is God going to put us in an opportunity to pass a test, but because we're relying on somebody else to get us through that test, that we will fail it every time? See, Jesus began to teach to them what was necessary for them because a test was coming. He says, now here I am. I'm a teacher. I'm teaching you. Sit down, children. Sit down. Sit down. And I just told you last week, they sat down on an area where it was nice and full of grass. On a mountainside, full of grass. I had to make it real comfortable for you because I know how you are. If those green chairs are not there and we have to put those plastic chairs, you're not going to like it. So I made it real soft and comfortable for you so you can sit down and you can listen, okay? And afterwards, I'm going to give you some fish and I'm going to give you some bread. All you want to eat, all of it. And you don't have to pay a dime, but you do have to pay attention. Okay, so now he's told them everything he's going to tell them. Now comes the test. But guess who got tested? I want you to read in scripture throughout the Gospels. Everything that Jesus spoke on, he got tested on. Everything that came out of his mouth, he got tested on. Everything that he said that was going to take place, he got tested on. So what comes out of your mouth, you're going to be tested on. Well, I got faith to move mountains. Here comes a mountain. I'm ready to take on any devil. There's seven of them. What you going to do now? I'm going to call Pastor. No, you ain't. Pastor's dealing with his own. You're going to learn to fight. What comes out of your mouth, you're going to be tested on. You will be tested. Jesus was doing that. Now, watch this. So he says, what you build your house on, you, the house, what you build your house on is going to determine whether or not you're going to be able to stand when the storms come, when they come. If you're building your house on only the good things that you want to hear, you know, the pick-through kind of Bible that we have, you pick and choose what you want to read, you pick and choose what applies to everybody else but not to you, then you're building your house, your foundation of faith, on sand. A real foundation is built, it says, on bedrock. That's what it says. Now, I know I'm a builder. I know how to build, and that's the base. It's called base. And that base is so that it will level out the house before the foundation is poured. If your base, your foundation is not set in the word, but you're all about hype, you're building like a fool. If you only want to have your ears tickled, Jesus calls you a fool. Pastor didn't. The word did. So when we get emails, babe, they said, though, you called us a fool, we'll just tell them to read Matthew 7. Okay? Text me. Carla, role play. This is quote-unquote role play. Carla texts me and said that I called her a fool and she was offended and she's leaving the church. Carla, role play. Matthew 7 says, if you do not apply the word, then you become a fool. You're like a fool. So what just happened? We establish word, we establish growth, and we establish a pattern in which she needs to put to work, right? Okay, Carla, great foundation. Love it. You're doing great. Keep it up. Keep it up. That's not role play. That's encouragement. Amen? Okay, now what we have to understand is that Jesus knew from the very beginning that I need to put things in place for my people. Why does he need to put things in place? Because he knows from the beginning of time we're going to encounter storms. So before he created us, he created the world. Then he puts us in the world, but he gave us the word. I just read it at the very beginning in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm going to go through this very quickly, and then I'll come to an end. I promise you, you will be out of here before dinner. Verse 29 in Matthew 7 says, he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Now, that speaks to me about authority, and it tells me, authority is the concept, watch this, the concept of authority seldom appears in the Old Testament. It is predominantly in the New Testament, where the word exousia is functioned in four different ways. Exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. It is a Greek word that is used, first of all, for the freedom to decide or a right to act without hindrance. All such authority begins with God, for there is no authority except from God. That's Romans 13:1. God has the right to mold the clay as he wishes. That's Romans 9:21. And sets times and dates as he wishes. Acts 1:7. So what it is, first of all, is the right to decide and act without hindrance. That's the first of authority. Secondarily, the concept of authority refers to the power and the ability or capability to complete an action. The concept of authority refers to the power, ability, or capability to complete an action. In Matthew 9, 6 through 8, Jesus was given the authority to forgive sins. In Mark 6 and 7, he was given the authority to drive out spirits. Jesus gave his disciples the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, Luke 10, 19. You see, authority can be given. Authority is given. Authority can be a right to act on it without any hindrance. You have a choice to act upon what you're being taught. If it's just information, There's a whole bunch of material out there in Christianity. All the glory books, all of the manifestation, the power, they're all out there. But if you don't act upon it, it's just information. Because I have a laptop or a computer that has Google, does that mean I have all the authority? Do I have all of the wisdom? Do I have all of the information? It's available to me, but once I get that information and put it to use, now it becomes a part of me. You understand? So authority can be given. Thirdly, the word authority is used in reference to delegated authority in the form of a warrant, a license, or authorization to perform. Jesus was asked by those by whose authorization he taught in Matthew 21:23. They asked Jesus in Matthew 21:23, "In what authorization do you teach this?" He was granted authority for his ministry from God the Father in John 10:18. Granted authority for his ministry from God the Father in John 10:18. And lastly, a natural extension of meaning is exousia, sometimes denotes the sphere in which authority is exercised. The sphere in which authority is exercised. Rulers and kings have their spheres of influence. Romans 13:1. So does Satan in Colossians 1:13. But Christ has been placed above all realms of authority. Ephesians 1:21. I want to share with you that whatever you're going through, whatever you have been through, God has a plan for you. Because in order for you to have authority, in order for them to witness and understand that he does things differently than the religious people did, he does things and speaks things differently than those that understood the law, he speaks with someone that had the authority. He had the ability to transfer what was given to him from the Father here on earth so that it can be imparted to us here so that we can take the information as impartation and release it to others. What I give to you is not just for you, it's for you to give to others. What you receive from the Father isn't just for you, Carla. You can't just keep it, Carla. You've got to give it to Asia. Asia has to take it as well. It's not just for you, Sylvia. It's for you to take it outside of what we call the church, the four walls, and to take it to other places that people need. See, your light that is inside of you makes those that are in the world see the light in the darkness. But if we all just stay in the light, because we got to be seen in church, we have to be at the front row, even though it's empty. We have to be at the front row because we want to let Pastor know that we're here for them. Next week is Mother's Day. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. I would love for all the mothers in the house to come in with those big old hats. Those big old hats. Church like of old. When you had those big old hats. Had those things. Now, you know, Kentucky Derby was just yesterday. Did you see those hats that they wore? They have all those kind of big old hats and stuff. I said, ooh, I like that. I just like that. They were church. When mamas would walk in with their hat. And they had to walk real proud, too. Because the hat was so heavy, if they bent forward, they would have been slain. You know those big old hats, brother, the big ones. They come in, dignified. Holy Ghost gets to moving, you see that hat going, flopping everywhere. But if we only go through the motion and we don't put to use what God has given us, all we're doing is having a fashion show in church. All we're doing is acting like we did something right. I don't want to be that way. I'm a mess to begin with. But I guess that's why I got so many messages. My mom used to look at me and say, Ay, mijo. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I said, I don't know either. And I figured that the angels, Fina, that God assigned to me, looked over to Jesus and said, well, I don't know what we're going to do with that boy. So Jesus looked down and said, oh, that one? He's mine. He's right here. You probably don't have the grace for him, but I do. You probably won't understand him, but I do. You don't know what I know about him, but I have a plan for him. You may not know what he's been through, but I have a plan for him. See, I need him close to me. He's going to make some mistakes, but as long as he knows he's in my hands. See, because he loves me, even though he doesn't know me, I'm going to reveal to him who I really am. And once he gets that, I'll have to send more angels. Because now he knows his authority. Because now he knows that what I've given him is for him to give to others. And once he realizes that, you're going to need more help. Because he's going to make more mess. Make it personal. I'm talking about you. He's put you right next to his heart. No matter how many times you mess up, no matter how many times you think you got it right, he's picking you up and he's telling you, I've got you in my hands. And when you think you've fallen so far deep, I'm going to pick you right back up. And when you think that you've missed it all, like it's passed you by, I'm going to speak to you about your future. I'm going to tell you who you really are. Regardless of what man says, this is what I say. Regardless of what your circumstance dictate to you, this is what I've dictated to you. You see, all along he was saying, you're going to be a mess, Marty. You're going to be a mess. But I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. You didn't know how to read in school because you didn't want to read. I'm going to use that. You didn't like taking tests. I'm going to test you. You didn't like being around people that didn't like you. I'm going to remold you that you love them all. You didn't like to fight, but I'm going to make you fight for others. Everything I'm saying, my mom can attest to. So you're going to test to every single one of them. I didn't like violence, but I would fight for anybody that couldn't fight. I would step in for anybody that was about to lose a battle. I didn't even know him, and I would jump in. My dad, and you say, you just like to fight. No, I hate violence. I hate it. I do not like it. But don't get it twisted. My cousin's in the room, and I will tell you, what I can fight. And God used that. He used that. Now I'm going to teach you how to fight for others in the spirit realm so that they don't have to put themselves in people's way to get harmed. I'm going to have you fight in the spirit so that you don't have to fight something in the natural. I'm going to teach you something, Marty, that you never understood in your life until this very moment. When you begin to receive what I have from you, now you're going to begin to understand that I gave it to you to fight in the spiritual realm. You're going to have an understanding that when you begin to read the word, it's going to make sense to you in a whole different way that it didn't make before. You didn't like to read in school, but now you can't wait to read my word. What happened? I understood who I was based on what he had shown me and how he had saved me. I mean, you know that we got to be saved even from ourselves. We got to be saved even from our past and how we reacted and how we have a tendency to overreact. But you don't know what I've been through. You don't know my story. How many times are you going to relive it and not move on to the next chapter? Because if he's the author, he's also the finisher. If he's the author, the word, then everything that you're experiencing right now in your life has been established. He says you're going to live out your life because he knows you're in from the beginning. He knows every step that you're going to take. He knows that when you're going to try to get ahead of God, he's going to say, I'm right there with you anyhow. You just have a tendency to hear a part of the word and you go and try to make it happen. Prophets will come and start prophesying to me. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to have different businesses. And when I would leave that Sunday service and I would go start a new business. Telling the truth. Mama right here said, yeah, you. I don't know how many businesses you started. Got my husband involved too. Popo involved. But I wouldn't hear the word completely. I would just run with it until I learned, let me just go to God in prayer about this thing. What business do you want me to do? This is mine. Oh, your business, not my business. Oh, I'm going to be a millionaire because I'm doing your business. Not my business. And then I started thinking, oh, I'm going to be in a lot of money. I had a prophet tell me I'm going to be a young millionaire. I'm still looking for them. Getting older, God. He says, no. You don't understand that every jewel that I sent you are worth millions to me. And how you steward each one of them is going to determine how you're going to grow, and I'll give you more. So what does Marty do? Remember, I'm a mess. I'm talking about me. And if you get offended by this, there's an altar. Devin, listen here, man. So I'm a mess. And I look around and so people are leaving God. I'm going in a deficit. He says, no, you're not. You have to release what's in your hand so that I can release what's in my hand. Yeah. How you let go and how you still love is how you've grown in my hand. Woo! Trying to tell you something. You're going to learn every step of the way. You may not get it the first time because your pastor is a knucklehead. It takes me a long time to get it right. But thank God, you're not my judge. He is. Amen? Because the truth be told, if the skeletons came out your closet, how would we be looking at you? Here comes Mr. So-and-so walking through that door. You know, y'all don't know what I know about him, but let me tell you, because, see, if stuff was to really get out about the things that you didn't want to get out, you would begin to understand grace and mercy even the more. So at the very onset of the ministry, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to be very transparent. She said, how transparent? You don't have to tell them all things. Y'all think I'm kidding. We have a conversation like this. She ain't the boss. I'm the boss. What I say goes right out the window. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's going to be some things in your life that are going to transpire, and you're not going to understand it, but he's the author. He's the one that has put you in that place. He's ordered your steps. And some of the things that come your way, they don't feel good. They don't look good. They just do not go with what you think it should be. But if he foreknew you before you were ever formed in your mama's womb, then what is he saying? He's saying, I knew the steps you were going to take. Nothing that has transpired has caught me by surprise. If there was something that was tragic coming into your life, I had my spirit be there to keep you and to bring you through and not to take you out. I won't go against man's will, but if you surrender your will to me, you will always have my mercy and my grace. You will always have my hand. So you begin to speak on the brokenness and the fragments of life, but then I begin to realize that even my fragments and my brokenness is exactly what God wanted to use. because I had a way of putting myself together, doing things the way I thought it needed to be done, how it needed to look and how it's supposed to sound. And God says, it's not going to be that way. I've had people come and give me a word, tell me, you're going to become more articulate in the word and people are going to begin to understand your language. And I said, hold up now. That's judgment. I'm not going to speak like you. I'm not going to act like you. I'm not going to try to be another T.D. Jakes. I'm not going to try to be another preacher that's out there. I'm going to be how God wanted me to be, how he has ordained me to be, and I'm going to walk in the steps that he wants me to walk in. And if you have a problem with it, then you have a real problem with God, not with me. And I've learned to begin to stand regardless. You may break me on one season, but on the other season, you're going to see me formed into a new vessel, because I've learned to take my blows. I've learned to take my attacks. That's what you need to do, is learn to take it. Take it. Because he's the author of your life. He's ordered your steps. And if something's come against you, my God, the hardest thing we ever had to pray for was peace. Lord, give me peace. Here comes another trial. Lord, give me strength. Here comes some weakness. Lord, I want your anointing. Okay, here comes all the persecution you need. Lord, I want signs and wonders. Here comes the desert season in your life. Lord, I want abundance. Here comes lack. Lord, I want interpretation of dreams. Here comes all kinds of nightmares. Lord, I want to discern angels. Hey, that's a demon. You got to understand that just because you're asking doesn't think it's going to come in the way you think.
That's right.
Lord, I want to love my wife like there is no other woman on earth. Ooh, she going to test you. The angel looked over at me and said, don't pray that one no more. You... You know you married a Puerto Rican, right? Don't pray that no more. I learned how to pray. Lord, I thank you for my eyes that only see my wife. Lord, I thank you for my wife. She loves me. She gets to have all of this. So then, watch this, watch this. Yeah, I'm picking on you. I love you, Carla. I love you. Carla, I quit praying. Lord, let her see how much I love her. Okay, I'm going to have you get into some arguments so that you can learn to forgive. The angel said, quit praying that prayer. My kids are upstairs. No, only... Oh, Lord.
Almost went there, James. I need to be...
The only argument that we have, Lord, don't test me on this one. I'm teaching. Teach them. It's about the church. That's the only arguments we have. You ask any one of my kids, they'll tell you, the only time we've ever seen you guys argue is about the church. Only time. You know what the Lord told me? It's because you're passionate about what I've given you. You've taken ownership of what I've given you both. Because if you wouldn't argue about it, you wouldn't care about it. There's worth there. So in the process of having a church, I changed my prayer. Cherie, I said, I ain't going to pray for the church like that. Lord, I thank you we're full. Lord, I thank you that you have sent me the animals, Lord. I thank you that I am like Noah. Bring in the ark. Bring in the animals. I thank you for them. And when they show up, I can look back and say, thank you, God. They're here. They're here. Beginning with this one. See, I've learned to what I pray, I am going to be tested on. So I thank God ahead of time before the test comes. I thank God for my millionaire status. And he ain't got a bank account in my name. Theo, I ain't lying. I have a bank account in my name. I even went to Walmart, second chance, kind of, you know, checking. You know, those, what they said, Ms. Perez, We got your picture in the back. You've been tested enough and you don't know how to handle money. See, I have a spending problem. I spend like I'm a millionaire already. Carla, I tell my wife, just go buy it, baby. Just spend, write a check. We got money. And she'll look at me, did you win the lotto or something I don't know about? Do you have an account that I don't know about? Because I know what's in the account. Oh, yeah. Do we have it? She said, no. Oh. We can't get it? Oh. What if you go to HEB and cash the check? And then when money comes in, we can do it. Y'all think I'm playing? I said, I want my fajitas, so you're going to go, and you're going to take us out to dinner, and we're gonna figure it out somehow. So the Lord said, really? I'm going to make it so that you don't have an account. She's going to be the one in charge of the money. You think you're the boss? You think you're the millionaire now? I had to learn the hard way. My kids, and I don't know why I'm talking about this. This is not even in the notes, y'all. Just forget it. I'm not even going back there. I had to learn that what I was failing the test on, let somebody else do it, man. Why are you doing it? Now, when I get millions, it's going to happen. Hear what I'm telling you. Hear what I'm telling you. Because it's going to happen. Maybe I'll take some classes to learn how to manage. I'm going to learn how to invest. I'm going to learn how to store up. And I'm going to learn how to ask God. Now, I got this one down. Watch this. I got this one down, though. I do. Right? Whatever he asks, we give. We give a whole bunch to other people, ministries, because I've learned it's his. That I've learned. Thank God. I learned. Well, one of the things I want you to understand is that when you make a mistake, when you go through life and it doesn't seem like it's coming out right, know that he's there with you. He is the author and finisher of your faith. We're going to make mistakes. Come on, look to your neighbor. Say it in love. You're going to make mistakes. But you're going to be all right. God's got you. Come on. Do you believe he's got you? Come on. He's got you. He's got you right here in his hand. See, that's why with Job, the enemy had to come and ask permission for Job. Because where was Job? So have you been coming against all kinds of H-E-double-L? It's because God's got you. He's holding you. He's molding you, sir. And what he has spoken to you and what he has shared with you, it's going to come to pass. It is, sir. I don't know who you are. I've never seen you. Maybe I have. Forgive me because I am. But I do know this about you by the Spirit only. That not only is your heart been tested, your word been challenged, and who you are has been questioned. But I want to speak to you, son. And I say this with admiration to you. And I say this in the love of God. Everything that has come against you has made you doubt who you really are. If you were to stand and face what comes against you, you will see the enemy flee seven different ways. Not only is there a wind that is coming around you, and this wind is not that like a tormenting wind. It's a wind that is going to fling off those haters around you that have come against you by way of jealousy, that have come away, that come into your life to take from you. There's a lot of takers coming into your life that even your spirit has been drenched with hatred that has come against you. I want to tell you this, son. I say this with the Spirit of the living God speaking into you and to your spirit, man. He is awakening you. He is quickening you. And as I exhort you this night, know this, that joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning. There's some influences in your life that are about to be flung away. And it's okay. It'll hurt. It'll hurt. Hear me. Because we put ourselves into it. It don't hurt. But trust me, it's going to be for your good. It'll be for your good. You're a good man. You like to help others. You have a ministry of help inside of you. You help others that can't do, you will do. You have that heart to give your last dollar. You'll do stuff like that. You'll give your shirt off your back. What I was saying earlier, I will fight for those that can't fight. That's you. You fight for others that do not know how to fight. You will stand up and you'll take on the bully, push the bully out the way just so that person will not get hurt or injured. That's who you are. He's called you to be a leader in the forefront to stand. He has anointed you with the sword of the Spirit, that you will begin to speak things with authority. You are a leader. Do not follow. You are a leader. I exhort you, man of God, you are a leader. Do not follow the things that are around you. Follow what God is telling you to do and watch as things begin to be transformed in your life. God bless you, sir. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. As I close with this, He is the author and He is the finisher. He has written out the script for your life. Things don't always feel good. Things don't always look good. But my God, at the end of what's been coming against you, at the end of it, wow, you'll look back and say, man, if I had done this sooner, if I had done this sooner, where would I be now? God says you'd still be in the same place. Because I ordered your steps. But you'd have a better understanding of me just back then. But because now He went through so much, now you know more of my mercy and my grace. I tell you what, man. I've gone through some stuff. You've gone through some stuff. You've been through some things. We all have. We've been through some things that are so horrible and so hard. He's saying, I've written it out for you. I've written it out for you. There's an end to this thing. There's an end where it began. Because I have a way out for you. I have a way to make things turn around so they're not going to be the same. And then when you come up out of it, you'll look back and say, I remember when I used to act like that. But I'm not that person no more. I no longer react like that because I passed the test. Now don't get it twisted. You ain't going to be perfect. You're not. And other people may hold you to a standard that you can't fulfill. My wife says that if we were to have the understanding and really get it, we would see so many greater things. By faith. I believe that it's our faith that makes us see what we can't see. But once we see it, let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. I believe that what God is going to do in this hour for each and every one of us, all across the land, is bring us out. Bring us out. Thank you, Jesus. Jennifer, can you stand, please, and put your hand on her shoulder back there? Go ahead. Yes, you may. Yes, ma'am. The Spirit of the Lord is saying that there's healing taking place in your body concerning your respiratory system. And I hear that God is not only bringing a healing, but a peace into your body. I see you at times not being able to rest in your mind. Your mind is racy. You have a lot on your mind concerning things that are to come. What if in that? And it's okay. We have a tendency to do that. But I hear the God said, I'm going to give you peace in your mind as well. Peace. And I'm driving out fear from around you. Fear. From the very crown of your head to the very soles of your feet, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak a divine healing into your life and into your body. Lord, I thank you for a peaceful night's rest. I thank you for peace in her mind and peace in her heart. You have a loved one in your heart that you've been concerned about, and I hear the Spirit of God saying that I've heard your cries for this individual. And not only are the things going to start to get into position and line up, the pieces that have been missing are coming together. The pieces that have been missing are coming together. Now, as I see this, it's like a puzzle that has the corners and it has the base and it has the sides. But what it doesn't have is the top. The covering is coming. The covering is coming. Beloved, I just pray that the Spirit of God minister to your heart, minister to your spirit, to hear that I'm bringing the covering to you. I'm bringing the covering to you that will keep you covered and bring the pieces together that are necessary for the wholeness that you've been praying for, not only in your family, but those around you. And I hear that God is going to establish you into that place. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that as you've ordained this for our life today, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. But Lord, that you are the one that holds the very steps in your hands. And God, whatever we are doing in this very hour, Lord, I ask, Lord, if you convict us by your Spirit for whatever that needs to stop, change, or that we need to turn around from, I thank you, Lord, that we heed to the Spirit of the living God. I thank you, Lord, that if there's any sin in our life, Lord, that is unpleasing to you, which all sin is, but Lord, we're not perfect. You're perfect. But it's in our imperfections that we begin to see your perfectness inside of us. We begin to see that we have the ability to turn away from and to turn from the things that cause us to be further and further away from you. Let us now put an end to the things that cause distraction to your purpose. Let us now move by way of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Not one of us in this room today can stand before you without any sin. But because of your Son Jesus and his shed blood for us, that you have already judged the sin in our life through your Son. And we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Because of your righteousness, I can stand boldly before the throne of grace and say, Abba, Father, I love you. When it doesn't make sense in our life, God, we ask for the understanding of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of Almighty God, the illumination of your word, and the revelation of our season to be revealed. Reveal to us, O God, what we must do. And when the tests come, oh God, we thank you that we're building our foundation, oh God, on the right word. And we're building it on the rock. The revelation of your word, the bedrock, the base, the foundation of your gospel. That even in our mess, we have a message to tell. Help us through this journey, oh God. And we thank you in advance for the peace, the victory, and passing the test. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. If you would stand to your feet, church. Stand to your feet as the guys are playing now. And you can say unto yourself that the Lord has ministered into my heart concerning his authority, that he has authorized me to do his will. He has authorized me to do what he's called me to do. If you know that God is speaking to you concerning the authorization as one with authority, I want you to come and stand at this altar. It's a prayer over you to release you into that place. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.